I'm in a brand new series, and I hope that you'll want to go on this journey with me over the next, from Mother's Day to Father's Day. It's called Balance. Balance is really important in our life, and I want to look at it. Would you say the title with me, Balance, but underneath, say that with me. Clear, calm, cool. One more time. Clear, calm, cool, clear. Who don't want some of that? Yeah, I want it, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take some work to be a balanced person. And so that's going to be the series coming up. And I'm going to sort of lay the groundwork a little bit, just for a couple of minutes, then I'm going to go on to today's message. A little bit different than the rest of the series, but it's important. It's Mother's Day, and we're going to make it work today. But balance, balance. What is it? I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina, okay? Believe it or not, I have a high school diploma. I know. It's hard to believe. I actually went to college and have a college education. How many of y'all think that's sort of shocking? Can I see your hands? It's sort of shocking, isn't it? Y'all probably been telling people, I go to that fellowship church, he don't got no education, but I like him. No, the point is, though, but, you know, I never want to forget my Rockingham roots. Okay? And I still use a black Bible to study from. It's an old King James. And I'm not against other people using other versions. Just leave me alone, okay? But also, I use a Webster's Dictionary. And so this message, I looked up balance in a couple of different dictionaries. Here's what balance means. I go to the dictionary because I'm from the country, and I could use me some help understanding what that word means. I know it's good to have balance, but if I'm going to do a series on it, I think I should investigate it a little bit. And so, here's what it means. I got in more trouble when I looked at the dictionary. It means to maintain what? And y'all smart, I guess. You probably know what that is. I'm like, I still don't know what it is. No, I do a little bit. But I'm just saying, if I'm going to do a series on it, I sure better have more than that. I'll tell you that right now. Say that with me. It means to maintain, say it with me, the line of gravity within the base of support. Oh, okay, I'm good now. No, I ain't. I'm deeper. What am I doing? Equilibrium, gravity. What's gravity? Please help me, I'm thinking. So I go with another one. Say that one with me. It's any condition in which all acting forces are canceled out by each other, resulting in a balanced state. This sounds like circular reasoning or something. What are we doing here? You know what I understood? Balance is hard to define. Balance is pretty big. And so I started thinking, started digging a little deeper and thinking. And so I've got some other things I want to add, and we're going to look at this over the next several weeks. And next week's message is going to be on relationships. Balance in relationships. Why do people not want to talk to me? Why do I not get along with people? How can I better do this? I mean, there's a lot. Why do I get offended so easy? We're going to talk about it next week. Relationships, okay? It's going to be great. Okay, it's going to be fantastic. But so here's what I've understood. Balance is, there's a lot to balance. So spiritually, to be spiritually balanced, what does that look like? Say that with me. Aligned with God's Word and God's... Oh, okay. Spiritual balance. That's sort of understandable, what God's Word says and what His will is for my life. But mentally balanced, what does that mean? Say it with me. Clear, focused, uncluttered. Does that sound legit? Sounds good to me. Balance, spiritually, mentally. And we're not learning these today. We're just doing a little preview. What's emotionally balanced? I mean, if you had to say, I want to be emotionally balanced. I mean, good grief, well, who are you talking to? How are we going to fill in that blank? You know what emotionally balanced means, basically? Say that with me. It means being what? Mostly what? mostly positive. So if you're a mostly negative person, you're out of balance. Do you hear me? I just raised that way. I'm just a negative person. It means you're out of balance there. You need help there. I'm going to try to give us some help over the next several weeks. You hear me or not, say? Some people I can't stand? Is people that just, they're emotionally imbalanced because everything's just great, 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 great. It ain't. Everything ain't great all the time. I mean, they're sort of goofy. You can sit in their eyeball. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? No. But to be an emotionally balanced person would be that I am mostly what? Golly, y'all slow. Listen, to be emotionally balanced means I'm mostly what? Y'all understand? Let's do it again because I don't think you believe me. What? To be emotionally balanced means you most of the time, you mostly what? Y'all going to be on the lookout now, aren't you? That boy right there, he balanced. Okay, here we go. Let's look at some more of them. Physically balanced. See, when you look up balance in a dictionary, I mean, you'd need a whole chapter on this. It's a big deal to be balanced. What's physically balanced? Healthy? Nourished? I got that one covered. But wait a minute. Rested? I could use some more of that. Relaxed? Use a little more of that. Are y'all seeing this? Are you finding yourself on the screen or not? Yeah, you probably in a bunch of them. Come on. So, what's another one? Socially balanced. What is socially balanced? It means nurturing relationships. You are nurturing to others in relationships. People say, I'm antisocial. You know what that means? You ain't balanced. No, I'm serious. I'm antisocial. I mean, I'm not antisocial, that's for sure. But people that are, I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but every one of us should strive for balance. Is that true or false? I'm antisocial. I'll always be antisocial. Leave me alone. That is not balanced. God made us to care for one another, to love one another. He made us to interact with one another. What is this on the stage? We have no idea what that is. Let's twit it right there. We're going to put it right on the floor so I can't see it. Don't go too far out. Good. How many know there's certain things in my life I'm not balanced? I'm out of whack, baby. I'm out of whack. Come on, let's keep going. So socially. But a lot of times when you're not socially balanced, you can also be in relationships that aren't nurturing to you and you can't even see it. You think it's normal to be treated like a dog, put down like dirt, that you are nothing and you are nobody. Do you see why balance really matters, yes or no? And it can happen through traumatic experiences as a young person or going through life. It can screw you up. Is that true? Y'all didn't know Clark's turned into a psychologist, did you? Look at that. What is timely balance? What does that mean? See, balance has to do with time, too. What is to be timely balanced? Say that with me. It means living in the... Keep going. Not, but living in the... That's balanced. Some people never get past their past. Ever. They're always longing for the past, the relationship in the past. And they can have something right before their very eyes and they can't see it because they're in the past. They can't get past their past so they can't get to their future. Some people are so future, 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 future. I mean, they're looking out here and missing all of this in their day. So to be a balanced person, nothing wrong with thinking about the past some or looking towards the future. But predominantly, if you're going to be balanced, you need to live in the what? In the now. Does that make sense? So we're going to talk about it. And then there's financially balanced. What's that mean? What's a good definition of being financially balanced? Say it out loud with me. Living within your what? But people don't. They don't. They overspend. Or they get a credit card, rack up a lot of debt. Or you can be financially unbalanced by having a lot of money. And you save because you were poor. You grew up a lot like me. You're poor. And so you save and you hoard and you keep. That's out of whack. Y'all hear me or not? Say. So balance is important. So say this with me. So this is what I've broken it down. We're not going to do a sermon on every one of them, but you're going to see these dovetailing on our messages as we go forward. Would you say this balance is what? Say it with me. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, timely, and financially. How many would say on that screen right there, there's something up there, maybe one or two or three, you could probably use a little help in. Want to see some hands in the room? Got you a little help in that. Good, good. Come on back. Next week is going to be relationally, and we'll see some stuff. But let's move forward a little bit. So balance. Say it with me again. What is balance? It is what? Clear, calm, cool, collected. All right, here we go. Today's message, and we got time. Here it is. Balancing the imbalance. Ooh, that's a big title, isn't it? Balancing the imbalance. What is that? I'll talk to you about it. Alex touched on it last week a lot. He's talking about women last week and context, and I listened to the message. I'm going to look at that a little bit today, but I'm going to use the scriptures and stories, and I think you'll see something today that'll have to do with our overall series. So balancing the imbalance. So balance is a place where my spirit, my mind, my emotions, my body, my relationships, my time, and my finances are all what? They're all aligned. And that's the goal here. And nobody's perfect, but we can get some help here. You know, when I thought about that, when I wrote down all of those, and I thought of the spirit, my mind, my emotions, my relationships, balance, I want balance there. You know what? If I had to think of a scripture, you know the scriptures I thought of? Well, it's this one right here. But the fruit of the Spirit, say it with me, is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, that's strength under control, and temperance is self-control. If you look at that list that we put up about balance, and you put that list, and look at that list, going at that list that we're going to discover, we're going to study, you'd be surprised how much this right here meets the needs of this right here. Are you kidding me? When I'm filled with the Spirit, when I have Him living through me, His Word in me, and working out through me, you mean I can be a balanced person? Absolutely. But there are a lot of wackos in the church. Y'all know that, say? I mean, there's wacko churches. Tons of them. There's wacko preachers. Had a girl see me the other day at a store, and won't give her a name, but she met somebody, and so she's been going over there to that church. And she said, he's nuts. I said, I know, I could have told you. So anyway, but it's crazy. So the bottom line is, we can get a lot of help right here with the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that some in this series as well. Just keep going, buddy. So today is a special day. Say it out loud with me. 1, 2, 3. So I have a gift for you. Here's your gift. Now you're getting something when you leave, but here's your gift from God's Word today. Balancing the imbalance. Something that Alex was talking about. Jesus brought what to women? And you might not know that. You might, you know, you come to church, you're a believer in Jesus, but you haven't studied maybe. You don't know cultures and things like that. And that's okay. I get it. I've sort of studied this over the years, and I can help us with it. And there's a lot of information out there, but this is a lot of truth. So He brought balance to women. I'd like to talk about that this morning. Jesus taught balance for women. Roger, we're moving now, buddy. The most striking thing about the role of women in the life of Jesus Christ is that they were there at all. No other rabbi had women following Him. No other rabbi had women close to Him on His inner circle. No other rabbi did that, ever. And you'll miss that in the Bible. You're just reading the Bible, and here's Jesus talking to women, and Jesus is women, and it looks normal to you. That was not normal. It's still not normal in most of the world today, in most of the faiths today. Women are relegated to lowest of low. And a lot of conservative churches, and I'm conservative, a woman can work in the nursery, a woman can work in the hospitality, but to let a woman do, or let a woman teach, or let a woman serve, or let a woman lead things and do things, it's not heard of in a lot of churches. Okay? People ask me sometimes, why do I call on men to pray instead of women? And I know it might look like I'm not chauvinist. I am old-fashioned. And I actually like men. I like men to stand up, and I like men to lead. And that's just me. That is me. That doesn't mean women can't lead, but that's just me. And other pastors might come after me that'll do it different, but that doesn't mean I think women can't pray. A lot of times I have women pray. They pray for me. I like to humble myself and have women pray for me. I like that. But that's beside that. Let's don't talk about me. I got off subject there. Jesus broke tradition because of culture and religion, not recognizing the value and equality of who. So he broke tradition. I want you to see this with me. Get focused with me. Help me. Jesus treated every woman he met as a what? In their own what? Right. Unusual. There is no recorded instance where Jesus Christ ever disgraces, belittles, reproaches, or even stereotypes women. Now, was he firm? Sure he was. Was he truthful? Yes. Did he say things they couldn't believe he said? Yeah. But he didn't disgrace women, disparage women whatsoever. He always encouraged and affirmed who? Are y'all with me or not? Keep listening. Come on now. Don't give out on me. Now, this is huge. Of all the founders of all major religions, let's say the top four, that's going to cover most of the planet today. Of all the founders of all major religions, Jesus Christ, say it with me, does what? Stands what? Alone. As the, say it with me, one and only one that did not discriminate against women. That's crazy, isn't it? Keep looking. Jesus' words or actions never encouraged the disparagement of women. If you disparage women, if you denigrate women, if you down women, you're out of balance and you're out of line. Is that making clear now what we're going to do in our study? Otherwise, you're a nut. Got it? Say. Okay? Jesus Christ's ministry was not limited to particular groups or persons. Say it with me. But to who? Everyone. Keep finishing. Who would what? Believe. That's the key to Christianity. It's not your sex. It's your belief. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Amen. Whoever confesses Christ. He that has a son has life, or she that has a son has life, if you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I've got a crazy quote from a remarkable human. I'd like to share it with you. Y'all ready? Say it with me. When a woman looks at all... Are y'all doing it? Are y'all laying... What are we doing? A remarkable guy. You want to quote this guy. Ready? Here we go. When a woman looks at all the major religions, she can honestly only conclude that Jesus Christ is the only one who totally values her as someone who was fearfully and wonderfully made. And who said this? I did. I'm going to be a famous man one day. It's going to happen. Look at that. My own quote. All right. Anyway, let's keep going. I hope you're hearing something, though. And I got to go. I got some stuff. But how did he balance the imbalance? Even to this day, he's the only one. You think Islam's going to do this for women? Even Judaism? No. Christianity. It's because of Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus reached out to many, many women. And we're going to look at it. Most were inconspicuous. They were silent sufferers. They were unnoticeables and they were untouchables. I want you to think about that statement. When you read your Bible and you see Jesus with a woman, they were usually right here. Inconspicuous, they were suffering, they were unnoticeable, and they were not to be touched because if something was wrong with them. That's who he came to. And I'd like to talk about four of them today. I'm just going to read the Bible with you. Bible story time with Uncle Gary. Here we go. There was a woman hemorrhaging blood. Okay? A certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. It sounds like she had a period that would never stop. And my wife is here. Wave at me, Kim. How are you, babe? Are you okay if I use you as an... No, you don't want me to... That. Kim has struggled for some time with pain during her menstrual cycle. Horrific pain at times. And a lot of women do. It's something, fellas, we don't know anything about at all, period. Is that true, yes or no, guys? Yes. Okay? Just hush him out. There was a time a couple of years ago that Kim would maybe 3 out of 4 weeks of the month be experiencing this pain and this bleeding. Man, it was a hard time, wasn't it, babe? Fortunately, she lives in America, can have surgery, can get some help, and she's got that kind of help now. And that doesn't happen anymore, right, babe? And that's a great thing. This woman didn't live in America in this story. And it didn't just come and go. It was something she dealt with all the time. She suffered many things because of this. The bleeding that wouldn't stop. Many physicians had tried to help her. She spent everything she had. And she was nothing better. Ain't no better. But rather she grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she didn't know him. She tried everything. Why not try this guy? And she came into the press, the crowd behind him, and she touched him when he was with the folks. She touched his clothes. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. She's trying to do anything, believe in anything. That's why people today, faith healers take advantage of people. Because they want to believe, they want to get better, they want some help. And of all places, they're getting taken advantage of in a church. Isn't that pathetic, yes or no? And straightway, she touched him, and straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. What? And she felt in her body, she was healed. It stopped. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about to see in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Watch the disciples. His disciples said, don't you see all these people? I mean, everybody's touching you. And you're saying, who touched me? It's ridiculous. But he looked around to see her that had done this thing. We're trying to bring balance to the imbalance that women face. Jesus was trying to do something here. Watch it. But the woman, say those two words with me. But the woman what? And what? Because that's the culture. That's the society. She just wanted to touch him and be gone. She wasn't even supposed to be there. She's unclean, according to the law, according to that culture as well. You can't be with people. You're dirty. You're nasty. That's all. Is that terrible? Of course it is. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and she told him the what? She told him the truth, baby. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. What's that got to do with our series on balance? Just listen. You'll see. Watch this. Jesus practiced touch. He touched people. He put himself in places where people could touch him. I'm glad he won't antisocial. Ain't you? Yes or no? Say. See how that works? Also, this was against the law. It was against the rule. He wasn't supposed to have anything to do with a woman, not touch a woman, especially one that was deemed unclean. According to tradition, a woman who was menstruating or hemorrhaging blood was considered what? Defiling to a man. Yeah. But you know what? She touched Jesus and two things happened in this story. Number one, the hemorrhaging what? Number one, baby. But watch this. Number two, uh-oh. She was found out. But that's what Jesus wanted all along. The disciples tried to brush the incident aside. Jesus pressed for the identity of the one who had touched him. She was identified publicly. How was she treated? Say it with me. As what? Worthy and valued. And she was blessed with what? With healing. See, Jesus did all this on purpose. And she was encouraging. She was encouraged by the Lord. So, Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the who? The outcast woman. And you might say, Gary, that's just a story in the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. It's more than a story in the Bible. It's trying to balance the imbalance that women faced. And they still face this in many cultures in our world today. Can we thank God we live in America again? Can we do that right quick? Can we do that or not? Say. We got a lot of reasons to be thankful we live in this country, don't we? And we're a Christian nation. We didn't get where we are today. We got here where we are today because of Jesus Christ. What makes us any different than if we lived somewhere else on the other side? We believe the same thing they believed. We've been set free because of Jesus Christ. Let's look at another one. Another one. Quick. A 12-year-old girl. You mean Jesus cared for little girls? Pop it up. While he was speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people that said to the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter was sick, says, your daughter's dead. Why are you troubling the rabbi, the master, this Jesus? You don't need to do that anymore. Even this ruler of the synagogue, for his sick daughter, he was trying to go get her some help. Even if he maybe didn't agree with Jesus, he's just trying to get her some help. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only what? Believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. He took with him to this guy's house. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, the King James says. How many of you ever gone to a funeral and there's weeping and wailing? You've been to one of them? And some people, they just do that, and they ain't sincere. I'm going to tell you, some of them may. I've done a lot of funerals. Oh! That's sort of how this one was going. And they're weeping and they're wailing greatly over this little girl. And when Jesus was coming, he says unto them, why are y'all making such a do? And why are you weeping? The girl's not dead, she's sleeping. And they what? I mean, that is crazy at a funeral where they're weeping like crazy. Ah! And all of a sudden they start laughing. What a weird scene here. And you know what Jesus said? Get out! Get out! And he takes the father and the mother of the girl and them that were with him, and he enters in where the girl was laying. Come on. And he took the girl by the hand and he said, Talitha kumi, that's just being interpreted saying, damsel or young girl, I say arise. And straightway the girl arose and she walked. Say it with me. For she was the age of what? 12. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know this. And he commanded that somebody get her something to eat. This girl needs to eat. So what we learn in that story, Jesus balancing the imbalance. She was the daughter of a synagogue ruler. We saw that. His name was Jairus. He pleaded. Jesus went. The people mocked him when he said that she was just sleeping. He took her hand. Oh, by the way, according to law, he wasn't supposed to be there. You're not supposed to touch a dead body. He's not supposed to be doing anything like that. The girl sat up, though, and Jesus said out loud, get her some what? I like this story, don't you? Jesus cared for her. He showed incredible love for the who. How are we supposed to treat little girls? With love. Had a little girl today. I love her. She comes and hugs me almost every Sunday. And on Mother's Day, today, she made me a card. And I'm not even a mama. That made me feel so special. She just wanted me to know how much I was loved. I love. That's beautiful. Let's look at another one. A widow's dead son. A widow. It came to pass a day after that he went to the city called Nain. I've been there. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man that was being carried out on a stretcher. And it was the only son of his who? And she was a what? And much people of the city were with her. So now that her son's dead, most likely she would be left destitute. Is that correct? She'd get just little penance, little piddly from people to keep her living. And when the Lord saw her, he had what on this widow? Compassion on her. He said unto her, don't weep. He came and touched the B-I-E-R, beer, buyer, whatever you say it. I had to look it up. It means he touched the stretcher, the thing that they were carrying the body on. He reached down and touched that thing that was holding the body. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say arise. And he that was dead, the young man, sat up and began to speak. And Jesus delivered him back to his widow mama. And there came what? Fear. That word fear doesn't just mean scared. It means great reverence and respect and awe. And they glorified God, saying, this is a great prophet that's risen up among us. God has visited his people. And this rumor of Jesus went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region. What can we learn on Jesus bringing balance? He did it with the hemorrhaging woman. He did it with the little girl. He's showing, I care. I care for women in a big way. And he's going against the law to do it. So this was a widow from a small hillside town. Nobody would even know it, the place, and even recognize her. They could care less about her, most likely. Jesus noticed the grieving widow. He said, arise. He gave the widow back her only son. Okay? So Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the who? Are y'all going to sleep on me? What's a guy got to do? There's a 93-year-old widow at this church. She's hugged most of your necks. Her name is who? Edna. How many saw Edna today? How many were glad to see Edna today? Yeah, thank the Lord. Look at y'all. Yay! Yay! Edna's been in my life for almost 35 years. She was at my previous ministry. She was with us when we started this church in my house, Edna. Her husband Bill was a wonderful person. He's passed away. Edna's there at that door today. She's been sick for a month with pneumonia that nearly took her life. She got dressed today. Did her hair, pretty dress. Man, nothing was stopping Edna from being at that door on Mother's Day. Isn't that great? Come on. She is a widow. She is a widow. She is a widow. Fellowship Church loves widows. Fellowship Church respects widows. They're all around me in here today. You're loved, you're respected, you're valued. But I can't take the credit for that. That's what my Lord has taught me. He has taught me to give you respect and give you honor and to love you and to care for you. In other countries, they wouldn't. You'd be starving to death. You hear me? You don't thank God you live in America again? Can we just do it again? I'm sort of liking this country of America. I think at the end of the month we'll have a big party and have some chicken, some fried chicken, have a good time, celebrate our country Memorial Day weekend. I think it'd be a good idea, don't you? Come on. One last one. This one never makes the news. This one never makes the news. This woman. Look at this one. It was a young handicapped woman. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the what day? Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. How many years? 18. She was bowed together. She was bent over. She couldn't lift herself up. She was handicapped. She was so bent over, she couldn't look up. Wow. You think people took a lot of time on a woman like that? We wouldn't even do it, guys. We see people like that. And we got some work to do. I think we can work on our balance too. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And said, woman, I love these lines. Say it out loud. What's my favorite verse in the Bible right here? Say it out loud. Woman, thou art loose. One more time. Woman, thou art loose. Can we say it again? Isn't that fun? Let's do it again. Woman, thou art loosed. Wow. From your infirmity. He laid his hands on her. Uh-oh. Against the law. And immediately she was made what? I said it before. I know I bother y'all sometimes by saying this, because some of y'all came from different churches. But I cannot stand fake healers. Got it? And most of them are frauds. If you got the power to heal, go to Inglewood Hospital and clean it out this afternoon. And then go on up to Moffitt. Or just go on the highway. There's plenty of them out there. You just put it on, put your little map quest in and just do it. Jesus could. I really have a hard time. This story really gets to me because you see this kind of thing happen on a lot of these churches. Man, it bothers me. When Jesus healed people, they didn't limp. Say that out loud. When Jesus healed people, they didn't what? When he healed them, they were healed completely. Got it? Okay? So anyway, what happened when this woman was healed? The ruler of the synagogue, not the Jairus guy, another guy, because he traveled around. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He spoke up. He said something to Jesus. Because Jesus healed on what day? The Sabbath. And he said to the people, what an idiot this guy is. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, you come and be healed. But not on the Sabbath day. Is he a little imbalanced? You think healing a woman that's crippled and for 18 years, any day is a good day you can do that? The Lord answered him and said, say it with me, you what? Can you say it louder? The Lord answered and said, you what? Everything's not written in the Bible that Jesus said. I think he had a lot to say right here. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to washing? Or to water, I mean underwater. And ought not this woman, say it with me, being a daughter of who? A daughter of who? Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had finished these things, all his adversaries were what? And that's what, if we're going to change the balance in our life, it's going to take sometimes you and me are going to have to be ashamed. We've got to be ashamed of how we do our finances. We've got to be ashamed of how we manage our time. We've got to be ashamed of how I don't talk to people and I can do better. If you want to change, sometimes there has to be some shame. Personal. Not me trying to make you feel bad. But if you're going to get better, you've got to drink the medicine. And God wants to help us. He's trying to help us today on how to treat women. So his adversaries were ashamed and all the people did what? Rejoice for the glorious things that were done by him. I quit and here we go. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. We saw that. He saw her, just like Sherry sang and Elise sang. He said, you're free. Jesus touched her. The young woman was rebuked and berated by the religious who? And so what did Jesus do? He rebuked and berated him. Because Jesus is a man who loves women. He cares for women. He affirmed her in the synagogue. We're not done with this one. And it was on the Sabbath day. But he affirmed her, say it with me. This doesn't have to be in the Bible, but it is. He affirmed her as a what? I thought men were just sons of Abraham. Oh, no. Women are daughters, too. Women are children of God, too. Yes or no, amen. You see what he was going against? Would you say this out loud, ladies, all of you, but this is the only reference to a woman as the daughter of Abraham in the whole New Testament. So Jesus brought, says, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus brought balance to the imbalanced treatment of women. Is that, did we understand the message, or is this too highfalutin for you? Did you get it? We finish now. Balance and the imbalance. Here's the finish. Jesus stood with women when they stood alone. The prostitute in Luke 7. The sinful woman at the well in John 4. The adulterous woman in John 8. Whether it was his own mother or his friends, Mary and Martha, or followers like Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and others that are mentioned in the Bible. Say it with me. Jesus valued and affirmed. And you might say, why did I come to church today? I knew this already. You wouldn't know this at all if it were not for the Word of God. We're in any other country that has Christianity being taught. This is totally different than what most people teach. You just happen to live here. You hear me or not? Thank God. Inconspicuous, unnoticeables, and untouchables. Little girls, young ladies, women, married, single, or widows. Jesus brought them what? Let's thank the Lord for His Word. We quit. That's a lot of studying. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on.